The words of our Lord again from St. Mark in the 13th chapter. Jesus is with his disciples, and his disciples say to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones," as they were looking at the temple. "What magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" And Jesus said to them, "Watch out, so that no one deceives you. Who will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end has not come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." This is God's word. Please be seated. So why are we surprised when our cars break down? Or for that matter, our bodies? Don't they always? Why are we surprised when that restaurant that has always been there in downtown, although of course it hasn't always been there, but why are we surprised when suddenly it isn't there again? And instead leaves a big hole in the downtown facade like a smile with a big missing front tooth. Why are we surprised when anything that we see or sit on or lean against doesn't last? Why? It's idolatry. We tend to derive a false comfort and a false sense of security from things in this world, from the created order. Things that have always been there for us. And so somehow we feel comforted by those things and hope that they will always be there for us. And Jesus' disciples were like that too. When they came to the big city, Jerusalem, and they saw this beautiful temple, it took their breath away. I mean, Herod's temple was spectacular. It was enormous, it was gorgeous, it was opulent, it was an engineering marvel. Really, Herod's temple was one of the best things that this earth has ever produced. And even to this day, it is one of the wonders of the world. If anything was impressive and enduring, that temple was it. So when these small town boys from Galilee saw it, they were like any old Iowa boy in the big city, staring up and gawking at the heights of the World Trade Center towers. That is, if the World Trade Center towers were still there. Well, this temple, with its massive stones, must have seemed to them as invulnerable as the Pentagon. Or at least as the Pentagon used to seem. This temple was as enduring as the mountain on which it was built. But of course, now there's a mosque on that mountain, and the temple is long gone. Really, when you look at anything in the created order, cars, bodies, temples, anything, the planets, the stars, the question is not, can I see it? As though seeing counts for anything. What you ought to ask yourself is this built to last? Because if it's built to last, go ahead and build your security on that. Is it built to last? That's the question. So there are Jesus and his disciples on the Mount of Olives, looking across the Kidron Valley to this temple on the opposite hill across the valley. If anything ever looked like it had been built to last, this was it. Some of the stones in that structure of Herod's temple weighed over 600 tons. That's like 100 elephants in one stone. No wonder the disciples thought that this would be an enduring structure, something from which they could derive a sense of well-being and could lean on for their security. Oh, the temple would surely always be there for them. And so can imagine their surprise when Jesus reminds them that on earth, nothing is built to last. And he says to them, do you see all these great buildings? I tell you, not one stone here will be left on top of another. Every one of them will be cast down. Now that, of course, was just unthinkable for the disciples. They couldn't imagine that. Why, this temple could never be destroyed. Little did they know that it would in fact be destroyed within their own generation. Just 40 years later, Rome would go on a campaign to crush a revolt of the Jews and would utterly destroy the temple in the process. But the disciples, of course, didn't know that at the time. And so they challenged Jesus on his statement. And they say to him, when is this going to happen? And what will be the signs that this is going to happen? Jesus, however, is not so much concerned with the temple itself. It's just a stone building. He is more interested in teaching us what the destruction of that temple signifies. It signifies that if the temple doesn't last, then nothing on earth is built to last. And those who place a sense of security and comfort and hope in the things of this earth are fools. They are deceived. So instead of answering the question directly about the destruction of the temple and when it would happen, Jesus seizes this opportunity to teach his disciples about the signs of the end times. For the day is coming, the scriptures tell us, when heaven and earth and everything in it and on it will pass away. And all of the things that we thought were built to last will be gone. And in order to keep us mindful that that day is coming, our Lord Jesus gives us signs. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars, and nation will rise against nation. The peace accords that are brokered by men are not built to last. There is no comfort at all in them. Only the peace of Christ is perfect. And he says there will be earthquakes in various places. This world is in a constant state of upheaval in its bondage to sin. And in its present form, it is always unstable and threatening. Only God's kingdom, founded upon the rock of our salvation, is sure and solid. There will be famines, he says, in various places, reminding us that the life in this body is never a sure thing. Rain from the heavens, seasonable weather to grow good crops. These things are not certain. There is no security in these things. Only God's provisions for eternal life are a sure deal. These are all signs. These are early indicators that remind us that inevitably this earth and everything in it is passing away. And the reason nothing is built to last anymore is because of our rebellion against God. And the curse that that brought upon the entire creation, including upon our own lives. Now, not only does nothing last, nobody lasts. The Bible says that our lives are like a mist, like a vapor, that's here for just a short while and then, whew, it's gone again. As God turns us back to the dust of our creation. Now, does that mean, like the philosophers, that we should conclude that nothing matters in this world? Nothing is really real? Of course not. Of course it matters. And of course it's real. Your family relationships are real and they do matter. God wants them to be strong and He wants you to derive joy from those relationships. Your home and your material possessions are real. They are the gifts of God to you, which the Bible says God delights to give you. Your job and your income are real. And that is God's way of providing for the needs of the body in an honorable and noble way. Your body is real and it matters. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God would have you as a steward to take good care of it. It's all real. It all matters. And yet we have to keep our perspective on things. Because though it is real, it is not built to last. And that's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, use the things of this world, but do not become engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. This past July, there was a little bit of a misunderstanding in the Chicago Tribune when that newspaper printed an article about these iPod music players. The Tribune quoted Apple spokeswoman Natalie Karras as saying that iPods are designed to last 4 years. Well, Karras protested when the article came out and said that she had been misquoted. What she had really said is that iPods are designed to last for years. But of course, in the world of electronics, what does it really matter? If something lasts 4 years, or for years, who wants it anymore anyway? In either case, whether it's 4 years or for years, iPods are passing away. And so is everything else. So what is built to last? What do you put your security in? Your hope? Your dreams? What's built to last? Christ is built to last. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His flesh is a temple, because as the Bible says, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. He is a temple. And so there they are on the Mount of Olives. The temple of Christ's flesh is looking across the valley at a temple made of stone. Strange, isn't it? That one temple is looking at another temple. And you tell me, to the eye, which of these two temples looks more enduring? Christ's temple of flesh or Herod's temple of stone? Of course, to the disciples, Herod's stone temple looked most impressive, most enduring. But what they failed to see on their side of the valley, right there in their midst, was an even more impressive and more enduring temple of their Lord and Savior. Christ is built to last. His flesh and His blood are more permanent than the massive stones of Herod's temple. And yet the irony is that He allowed that temple to be torn down when His flesh was crucified. Remember how you felt when the Twin Towers came tumbling down? How much worse was the destruction of Christ when the temple of His flesh was left hanging dead on a cross? The end of the whole world could not be as horrifying as the end of Jesus Christ, when the living temple of God everlasting was destroyed in front of our very eyes. You tell me, what sin does that not pay for? What curse, what doom, what judgment is not swallowed up by that destruction of our Savior? No matter how stained you are, no matter how doomed you are, no matter how guilty you are, God's stamp of paid in full is over all of it, and Christ is risen. Destroy this temple, He said, of His body. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Christ is built to last. And being raised from the dead, He cannot die again. He is the permanent man. Christ is built to last. And as the Son of God, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Christ is built to last. He is the everlasting temple of God, wherein God comes to be with His people as Emmanuel, and where we may approach Him, having been cleansed by the sacrifice of His flesh upon the cross. Christ is built to last. And anything that is built upon Christ will also last. You are eternal, because the Bible says everyone who believes in Him has eternal life. You are built to last. The church is eternal, because even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. God's kingdom is eternal, founded upon Christ, the rock of our salvation. His golden Jerusalem is forever. If you want to have a place to put your sense of security and your hope and your comfort and your dreams, this is it. These things will never fail you. Christ will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. He is built to last, you see. And so St. Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Everything that we see around us is disappearing, but not you. Not you. Your sin was judged and punished on Christ's cross, and you were raised with Christ in your baptism to a new life. You were raised by His gospel, and you are now built as a living stone into the eternal and living temple of Jesus Christ and of His kingdom. Everything else comes and goes. Don't lean on it. Don't put any stock in it. Don't build your security on it. And don't be alarmed when you see something disappear before your eyes, whether it's your pleasure or your health or your wealth or your employment or property or even a family member. These things are all here for a while, a will-o'-the-wisp, and then they are gone. You never should have built your security upon things that eyes can see. Rather, as living stones in the eternal temple of God, look up, because your salvation is drawing near. And when Christ appears, who is our life, we will appear with Him in glory, and the holy angels will see us glorified and reshaped into the image of Jesus Christ. And in amazement, they will shout with joy because of what Jesus Christ made out of sinners like us. And they will say, "Behold, what magnificent living stones they are." And then we too, when we see that new Jerusalem that really is built to last, we too will shout with amazement, "Behold, what a magnificent stone is the rock of our salvation. Glory be to the Lamb of God who was slain but who lives forever. Glory be to God." Amen. Amen. My friends in Christ, may the peace of God that is beyond all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.